I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening, a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. And also welcome to part two of Frasier fans around the world. You heard from a delightful Peruvian fan in part one, and in this episode, you're going to hear from a variety of craniacs. One that co-wrote a book about Frasier, one who created Frasier Crane Con in Seattle, one from England, one who met David Hyde Pierce and Kelsey Grammer, plus voicemails from Frasier fans. I put a call out on social media a while back and asked fans to call in and let me know why they love Frasier. And the responses were amazing, are amazing. And I'm so excited for you to hear them. So sit back, relax, drink some sherry, and enjoy part two.
Okay, so we are here with another Frasier fan, as there are many of them, not just me. Please welcome Tom Campbell to the podcast. Tom, how are you today?
I am honored and privileged to be on the podcast. I know it sounds like a bit, it sounds a bit fanboyish, but as a fan of the show for ages, I feel like I'm on the other side of it now. Hi to Tom, currently listening to this. On his iPhone. Yeah, that's you on I'm Listening.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I'm really good, thank you.
I'm so glad to hear that. So this is Frasier fans all over the world. That's what this episode's about. So Tom, where are you from?
I am from Newcastle upon Tyne in the United Kingdom, if you couldn't tell by my Frasier-esque accent. I am from the UK.
It's great. And, you know, this isn't the first time I've had a Brit on the pod, and I try very hard not to make obnoxious comments as an American. It's easier for
you know what? You're fine. We're pretty obnoxious as a standard, so you can rock on. Make it be as obnoxious as you like. It's fine.
Well, there's, you know what it is? It's, to me, it's the same as, which this is also something I don't do anymore, but as a very short person, I have in the past found myself just shouting at like a tall person, generally a tall man at a party. Wow, you're really tall. And then, you know, understandably, he has nothing to say because, yeah, he's tall. It's the same with a person who happens to be British. I think, oh, your accent. And then it's like, what are you supposed to say to that? So,
well, the follow-up question normally to that is, oh, you're English. You live in London, don't you? And you go, well, no, I'm many hundred miles away from London. But, oh, but you've been to London. Yeah, whatever. I've been to London. That's fine.
And so do you still live in Newcastle?
Yes, I'm not originally from here. There'll be a lot of Geordies, which is the term for people from Newcastle, who will listen to this going, he doesn't sound like he's from Newcastle. There's a very distinct accent in Newcastle. But I'm originally from the West Midlands, which is quite literally in the middle of the land, which is much further down the country. And I moved up here about 5 years ago for work and met a lovely lady here. And consequently, we've ended up setting up a life here. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Newcastle's beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'm curious, in Newcastle, since you're my only connect there right now, are there other Fraser fans in Newcastle? Do you know of
them? Do you know what?
Yeah.
I think there are. And I tentatively suggested a Fraser meetup because the reason that we got to know each other, Anita, the reason that we know each other is, and are we allowed to swear on this?
Absolutely. I'm gonna swear away.
Okay. Okay, the reason we know each other is through the Facebook page, Fraser Shitposting.
Yes, a very popular
That was we yes. met, which is just a very meme-heavy Fraser Facebook page. And about a month ago or so, I posted a photo I took of Kelsey Grammer on the side of a bus going through Newcastle. And made some sort of Fraser-based comment, like, what if Fraser was in Newcastle or something? Followed by, underneath it in the comments, two or three people going, oh, I'm not the only one from Newcastle. Wow. So I know for about there's at least two. And I did suggest, I was out with my good lady at the time, and I did say, we should have a meetup. She's like, oh, I don't know. They could be anybody. No, but they're Fraser fans, so they're gonna be a certain level of okay, surely.
Yes, I think I don't think it's a coincidence that I having met people Fraser fans through my podcast and through Fraser Shitposting and Fraser Fan Club that I tend to get along with everyone. It seems like we all have something very special in common. So I think if you can do it, I think you should do it. You should do a meetup.
And if we do, then we'll send you a picture.
Oh my God, please send me a picture. So now I know you can't speak for all people in the United Kingdom. I probably only speak for you, but would you say there's any particular reason as a person from the United Kingdom why you might like Fraser in particular, which is an American show?
Do you know what? There's nothing really particularly about the element of Britishness to it. Obviously, he speaks very sort of transatlantic, which sort of resonates a touch. Mm-hmm. Some people think he's British. He speaks in a British accent. I do believe it's transatlantic.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is very, very different. But I think the reason that Fraser is a big deal in the UK is frequency and consistency, because the majority of people from the UK who are listening to yourself and I right now will be familiar with Fraser because it is on every single morning of every single day on TV in the UK. And if you spoke to other people from Britain, they may have brought this up with you. So back in the day, back in the 90s, there used to be an early morning sort of wacky show called The Big Breakfast, right? Which was on between like 6 and 9. And then eventually after about 10 years, it disappeared. And things came along to replace it that just didn't really stick. It wasn't as good as The Big Breakfast. So the one year, they didn't have anything. So they put some old sitcoms on. And one of the sitcoms they put on was Fraser. This was probably, 12 years ago they did this. And now they play Fraser. They still to this day just play Frasier among other American sitcoms, but always Frasier. And the, you have a and there's a, there's always a great moment in time for anybody that that gets a chance to watch Frasier at that particular time, because what they do is when they reach the end of Frasier, when they get to the final episode of the final season, and if it's like a block of three episodes, which it normally is, they just immediately rewind and start again.
Wow. So, so they just go in order.
That's it. And they go in perfect order. You get the final episode, and then immediately everyone's hair's grown back and Daffy doesn't know Niles exists. It's a really melancholy time warp that you find yourself in.
That is okay. So this is interesting to me for two reasons, because I started watching Frasier, as listeners, you've heard this so many times. I started watching it while it was on, and obviously I didn't fully understand why I liked it because I was very young. But I then, of course, I started watching it in syndication. I can speak for, you know, syndication here in New York and Connecticut, but generally the block of sitcoms that would play were always at night. So it was always like after all the you know, musty TV and the local news. So there'd be things like Frasier, Friends, Seinfeld, and all of that stuff would play sometime after 10 o'clock at night. But and even like there were British shows like, I loved Keeping Up Appearances, and I would watch that on public television. But even that like As Time Goes By, all of that stuff was always on at night. I've never watched reruns of sitcoms in the morning. And in all my time watching repeats on TV, none of them have ever been in order. So this is very interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, it's in exact order. Maybe there might be the odd occasion where like a news event may mean they skip one, but more often than not, is in the exact order. My brain exploded the other day. Not literally, only metaphorically, because I've got a friend, her name is Susie, and she has started working for Channel 4, which is the channel that broadcasts this block of Frasier every morning. As she works as a continuity announcer. And I had the morning off, and there was my friend Susie talking to me, telling me that Frasier was about to start. Mm-hmm. It was the most peculiar moment, but it genuinely made my week, actually, to the point where I even texted her saying, thank you for putting Frasier on for me. Like, you know, I'm watching.
She knows you well. Now, you were talking about how, you know, the reruns in the morning, big thing, where you are. Is that how you started watching Frasier?
It wasn't on the reruns. It was back in, let me think about this. I want to say 1999, mm-hmm. maybe. We had the Paramount Comedy Channel over here in the UK. And there was, and they played Frasier. I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday night. And so it was kind of just as Frasier was sort of reaching its salad days. It wasn't quite out on the porch yet, but it was certainly grabbing the blanket and heading that way. And I just fell in love with it. There was something about the charm of the program that I loved. In fact, last time I went home, because every so often Paramount Comedy Channel would do, I think they do it on other channels anyway. They did like a weekend of a certain program, and they had a Frasier weekender. So from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, they played every episode. They played all the episodes of Frasier they could squeeze in. And you know, this is back in a day before we have on demand, where it's just like we're so blessed now, Anita, because if there's something we want to watch, we can just go tappity tappity tap, watch it now. My good lady's in the other room at the moment watching Peaky Blinders, which we've only just started watching. It's amazing. Tom Hardy's brilliant in it. But because of the technology we've got now, because we missed it first time round, like everything's there and we can catch up. We didn't have this in my childhood. So a Frasier weekender was on, and I managed to, and I last time I was back home, I was in the garage in the car hold, and there was a tape that I'd labeled. I'd forgotten I'd written it. And it was labeled Frasier Weekender. And I'd drawn like the Seattle skyline on the label of the tape and with the whole do not record written underneath it and all of that. And so And I think I must have just watched that video. Once the Frasier Weekend had finished, anytime I needed something to watch, I think I'd watch Frasier, because I think that's the one that I know that with your podcast, what I've loved about it is the in-depth discussion about the hows and the whys and the character building and such like that. But the big thing for me and why I love Frasier is I always find it just easy viewing. Like, it's something that you can have on in the background, or you can just sit and watch, and you can just absorb it and enjoy it. There's not much. If you want to read deeper into it, you can. But if you just want something that's on that's not gonna, you know, mentally rock your boat, Frasier's there. It's a warm blanket of a show. It was a big, before I started my new job, it was a big part of my morning, because I would watch the previously mentioned blocks of Frasier on a weekday morning, and that was sort of how I started my day. And that's one of the reasons why I fell in love with it, and probably one of the reasons why I burnt this VHS tape out watching the Frasier Weekender over and over again.
I would say I fully agree. I think Frasier is definitely easy listening, and I also, this is just something I realized, that show, along with probably maybe Seinfeld or Friends, are shows that I've seen so many times that, you know, sometimes I'll watch them right before bed. And Frasier, I would say, is a show you can watch before bed and it will not induce any nightmares. I say that because there are things I've watched before bed that have induced nightmares. To give you a very obvious example, a show that I
love.
Any
Simon Moon episodes?
Well, there's a reference I don't know. Oh, wait, Simon. Oh, right, Simon, yes.
Any Simon Moon episode.
Right, Simon Moon. Right. No, like, so Frasier will not induce nightmares for me. Do you know that last night, and I assume this will resonate with you, you are familiar with Love Island, yes?
Oh, wow. That's a nightmare in itself, Love Island.
Oh,
jeez.
I'm with you. But my boyfriend loves that show, and it's so funny because he and I constantly are like sort of compromising for each other, where I'm like, let's watch Frasier or one of my other favorite shows, Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And he's like, all right, let's watch Love Island. And we watched Love Island yesterday, and I had nightmares. Okay, no, they were not Love Island related, but I'm convinced that just being annoyed by some of the people on the show induced some negative thinking and therefore caused me to have nightmares. So what
I can totally agree with you. So also with that program, right? They call it Love Island, right? There's no love. There's no love. It's lust, right? It's lust on that island. And it's not even an island. It's a peninsula.
I'm aware.
So it's technically Lust Peninsula. Yeah. Let's call it what it is.
Oh, I love that. I would watch Lust Peninsula. It's more honest. I would watch
Frasier would watch Lust Peninsula.
Absolutely. Now, a question for you. You've just referenced Peaky Blinders. As a lover of Frasier, can you recommend any British shows that might be appealing to Frasier lovers?
Oh, that's a great question. It's slightly more out there than Frasier, but I think Frasier fans would get a kick out of Toast of London.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Never heard of it. Sounds great.
Matt Berry. Mm-hmm. It's Matt Berry, and he plays a struggling actor based in London, a guy called Stephen Toast. And it's just his trials and tribulations of trying to make it in the business. And it's something about the way that it's written. And also, it's very much like how Kelsey Grammer could only ever play Frasier, because he is Frasier. Like, that's right. It. He is Frasier. Matt Berry, in everything he's in, plays Matt Berry. He's just got a very distinctive, very British voice.
I've seen him in the IT crowd. He's great.
You know, yeah, that's it. And like that, it's that very weird and warm and wonderful sound, and the cadence that is sometimes all over the place, where he'll offer you, I don't know, a Kit Kat. And I love the richness of that. And I think if you're a Frasier fan, I do think, and you'd love Toast of London. In terms of like stuff that's easy to watch in the same way that Frasier is, I mean, you've already mentioned Keeping Up Appearances. It's a bit of a classic.
Sure.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes, Keeping Up Appearances, now that I think about it, it makes sense, because the main character, Hyacinth, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, which I might not be.
What I love is that you got the whole joke with the show was pronouncing the surname wrong.
Bouquet,
and you were concerned about getting the first name right.
Yes, I definitely remember watching that on PBS, probably at the same time as Frasier, and definitely sensing that she, along with Frasier Crane and Matt Berry, honestly, seem as if they've traveled from a different time into the future. And
I feel like Frasier Crane and Matt Berry would get on. I feel like if Frasier was still today, Matt Berry would have already guested in it.
Sure. Or been like a really worthy nemesis, I could see. I could picture him being.
Oh, like a Cam Winston.
Absolutely a Cam Winston.
Oh.
I mean, let's just keep these ideas rolling because, you know, somebody somewhere is going to make this Frasier revival. I'm hoping, you know, I'm on the air. Somebody's going to hear me and they're going to be like, call Anita because she's got really good ideas. And then, you know, you and I can collaborate. Maybe the show becomes perhaps a reboot, except everyone's British, except the healthcare worker who's American. And then we just have a bunch of stereotypes about the American, and it's just like with Daphne, except she was British. Yeah, I'm having some really great ideas right now.
I'm always very nervous about reboots, though. Very nervous.
I'm nervous.
My favorite reboot story is, it's not so much connected to Frasier, but it's connected to Friends, uh-huh. and how there was a group of writers in England who were tasked with making an English version of Friends. And they came up with the show Coupling,
I'm familiar.
With Coupling, you're familiar because it was so successful. It went to the States and was so successful. They piloted an American version of Coupling,
that's right.
Which in itself is a British version of Friends.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah. Wild. That is
Coupling.
Wild.
Inception.
Well, thank you, Tom, so much for being here. Where can people find you on the internet in life?
In life, I probably won't give out my address because
that's fair.
I love you, but I don't want you outside my house.
That's okay.
At Tom Campbell on Twitter is where I live. I work for a YouTube channel called Cultaholic, and if you happen to be in that tiny little cross section of Frasier fans who also happen to be, American professional wrestling fans, then you could come and find me there. There's bound to be some at Cultaholic. But if not, just come and say hi at Tom Campbell. It'd be lovely to chat to you. And this has been ace. I've loved this. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Tom.
My name is Cheryl, and I am in Conyers, Georgia, and the show is Frasier. My three favorite, it said to give you one, but I have three: Room Service, The Wine Club, and I can't think of the name of it now. Room Service, Wine Club, and Ski Lodge. Those are my favorite shows. Why do I love Frasier? Why? How could I not love Frasier? Between he and his brother, I can't figure out who needs a psychiatrist more. You know, they're just funny and interesting. And, you know, I love wine. And I began to love wine because of watching them, because it made me curious to find out exactly what was just, you know, the mystique. And how do you have a grape and it tastes so different and so forth? So it actually made me do some research and started me into a love of wine as well. And I don't know, the whole cast is just perfect. They perfectly rounded them out. Some of my favorite include Cam Winston and his mom. I love when Martin and Cam's mother get together. But other than that, I mean, it's just all-around favorite show. I watch it on Netflix. I watch it on Hallmark. I watch it on, I think, Logo still has it, and another channel still has it. So whenever I catch it on television, I watch it. But to get my full feel of the show without, you know, commercial breaks and without the obligatory clips, I watch it on Netflix. And I've been a fan ever since it was on. And I continue till this day. I actually belong to the Fraser Fan Club on Facebook, and this is where I found the information for this podcast. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick. This is Anita Flores. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Anita?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to chat for a bit. So, Patrick, thank you so much for joining the podcast. So, I'm going to keep the names of some of the Fraser fan groups anonymous because they're safe spaces. But I just want to sort of say to listeners, you know, I met you and I've met many awesome Fraser fans through like Fraser fan clubs that are sort of online. And that was actually how I discovered some of your work.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I thought was super cool that I found, you know, you created was essentially like a cookbook that is sort of compiling, I think, all the recipes from Fraser. Is that correct?
Yes, it took quite a while. I went through the entire series writing down every time they mentioned or did a recipe. And I basically went on the internet and got the recipes that matched that. The Wolfgang Puck episode where he's doing crab cakes, he actually had that recipe available free on the internet. So that is actually his recipe.
Oh, wow. That's funny. And yeah. Where are you located? Like, where are you from?
I was born in Michigan, but raised in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, Phoenix, Arizona. When did you get into Fraser?
Well, it's kind of a strange story. I sat down with my folks one day, and they were watching Fraser, and they said, this is a really great show, and I was kind of introduced to it that way. I've seen Cheers a couple episodes, but never really got into it. Just the Fraser was just fantastic, and I went from there. I remember watching the pilot, not knowing it was the pilot, several episodes later, and just thought it was fantastic, and then later realized, wow, that was pretty well done for being the pilot. Usually a pilot has to be adjusted, and you know, they may lose a character or change certain things, but it was really impressive from start to beginning of the entire series.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to me. I mean, I'm sure it can be said for other shows that sort of have a following, but I do feel like the Fraser, the Craniacs, as I like to call us, are particularly unique in sort of the projects that have sort of arisen from that or that were inspired by this show. I actually would love to know a little bit about Fraser Crane Con. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I believe you said it just happened.
Yes, it actually started last year. There was talk about it on my group, and this group that I'm with is about 14,000 strong right now.
Wow.
Last year it was talked about, and I said, well, why doesn't somebody go into the events of the group and set it up? And so I actually created that. I wasn't really in charge of it. At that time, I was pretty much moving, much like Fraser, across the country. I was basically uprooting and going from Virginia to Phoenix, Arizona, so I wasn't able to make it. But we did what we were considering back in 2097 was the actual Fraser Crane Day. And it's like, well, we really don't want to do an anniversary on that because it's 9/11.
Oh, sure.
With respect to David Angel and his wife, you know. So we said, well, let's do it to 9/16, which is when the first pilot aired. So in 2018, I started creating games, the cookbook, a calendar, things like that. So I decided to do this thing live on the group to where we did little things every half hour. And I did that. I realized I actually had things going for 10 and a half hours that day. I obviously had that day off.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. I mean, that you had the day off.
Yeah. So this year, 6 months ago, I was tapping into a search on flights and found out that I could get a round trip flight from Phoenix to Seattle and back for $156.
Sounds like a deal.
And so that's what jump-started this one, and we've been advertising on the group, and we had a blast out there. So, yeah,
wow.
Karen and Brian and Mark and Farnham, we just had a blast out there.
Where's your favorite place as part of the sort of day of activities? Where was your favorite place that you guys went?
The one was probably 5th Avenue and Olive Way, and that's kind of like what I consider the Achilles heel of the location, is where Fraser Niles ran up after being chased by the schoolgirls.
Ah, yes, for stealing the blind man's change, or trying to.
Quarter, yeah.
Yeah.
And that right at that corner is the monorail track and the Space Needle in the distance.
Oh.
So.
Yeah,
funny.
No, go ahead.
It's funny. A lot of people say, well, what are you going to do? You're basically just going to go to a few places. But as things are mentioned in the series, they've located the spot of Cafe Nervosa on 3rd and Pike. And that was the episode, Fool Me Once, Shame on Me, where somebody took his briefcase and he said, you can return it at Cafe on 3rd and Pike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in great. Another episode where they've mentioned where KACL is, right across the street from Cafe Nervosa, and that was in the flashbacks of You Can Go Home Again. So a lot of neat things like that. And there's the building of Elliott Bay Towers, which is just a quick glimpse in Impossible Dream episode at the very end. And last year I had a contest of who could find a building that close.
Mm-hmm.
And John Beale, who's in charge of these moderator on my group, actually found the actual building. And it's only about 0.4 miles from the Space Needle. So it was really neat to see the outside of that.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, in terms of sort of the cookbook, the Fraser Crane Con, some of the games, calendars, CDs you mentioned, is there like any particular thing about Fraser or like a singular episode, a moment, a season that sort of inspired any of this? Or it was just like you watched the whole show and you were like, wow, this is awesome. I want to, you know, work on these projects out of curiosity. What's your inspiration?
Mostly just going through the series has always been inspiring. It never gets old. The comedy is just incredible. Of course, the 1,000th show, when they actually do a Fraser Crane Day, that inspired me to try and locate as much on the show that I could.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that, you know, it's just a show. It's not real. But this is kind of where fiction meets reality. There's even, in one episode, Daphne goes to a bar called The Fox and Whistle.
Yes.
And in Seattle, there is a little pub called the Owl and Thistle.
Oh.
So there's a lot of parodies that they did parody with Seattle. So that's very interesting.
Wow. I think my biggest thing that I'm realizing as I'm talking to you that I definitely want to ask everyone, and I'm glad I asked you, was sort of the inspiration part. Because I do think that it's very, I think for me, like even when you just said, for you, it never gets old. I feel the same way. And I feel glad that I kind of latched onto a show that has so many seasons and episodes, because there's some shows, especially more recent shows like, I don't know, Party Down. Have you ever heard of Party Down?
No.
Party Down was a show that was on Showtime for, it was like 12 episodes. So it was like 6 episodes in one season, and they were like 25-minute episodes. So as much fun as it is to watch, it's over so soon. And I think, the longevity of Frasier is what's why it makes it, at least for me, so easy to just keep going back and watching it. Because I tend to end up getting stuck on season 7 because of the Niles Daphne, finally getting together. But right now I'm actually back at season 1, and I just rewatched the episode where Frasier and Niles try and write a book together. And I was like, oh man, there are some great episodes in season 1. So I feel like I'm always discovering something new with each rewatching.
Some of the inspiration came from looking into things, looking on the internet, like looking up the blueprints of Montana, and there was nothing there. And I'm reading a lot of reviews, people saying, I wish this existed. And I'm like, well, why can't it exist? So, you know.
That's right. Somebody just has to do it.
Kind of came from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they do have a Cafe Nervosa cookbook that's actually published, but it never really followed the entire series. Like, I thought, well, why can't that happen? And things like that. Like, I was looking for a knickknack of Martin's chair beside my computer, and it's like, well, if I can't find it, why not create it?
Wow. Well, so. You know what? Because I wish that the cookbook you made, because I saw the Cafe Nervosa one on Amazon, because I'm going to talk to somebody after you today who did publish a book that's on Amazon. So I'll have to ask him how that whole process works. So maybe...
Is that the... That wouldn't have to be the Fraser, the cultural history, would it?
It is. That is
fantastic.
Yes, I'm going to talk to Joe Dorowski, who actually wrote the book with his sister. So, maybe there'll be something useful from that for you. If you know, maybe if we'll find out how you get that the cookbook out there on Amazon, if that's something you're interested in.
Fantastic.
Because honestly, for me, that would be a great gift. Like, if somebody gave me what you made as a gift, I would love it. That would be fantastic. So, I'll see what he says. We'll definitely have to wrap up in a minute. But I was gonna ask you if you want me to ask you on the air if there's anything you want me to plug for you. Meaning, like, is there like a website or anything you want people to see of yours that's online or anything?
I think people would enjoy the Blueprints of the Montana. I believe that if you do any type of engine search, it'll pop up, but it is on that group that I'm involved in Facebook, and a website called sitcomsonline.com. And if you go to like the Fraser, you could probably do a search and pull it up that way as well.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, that sounds great. What were you going to say before I interrupted you?
Oh, I was going to say about the Fraser, the culture history, when this first came out. I mean, I did a search and found it before it came out and was waiting for it. It's a fantastic book. And they actually posted photos. I believe both of them met with David Hyde Pierce and had the book signed. So.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask him about that. Add it to my questions. Did you meet David Hyde Pierce? As you, I'm sure you can assume without even asking me, he's obviously a dream guest for me that I aspire and am still trying to make happen to get somebody from the show on the podcast. So when that happens, everyone, including everyone in the Fraser groups, will be the first to know. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, for joining I'm Listening. And you know what? My boyfriend is the two of us is the one that cooks. So I think that in the future, I'm definitely going to try and make him make a recipe from the cookbook that you made. So we'll see what happens.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Patrick.
Hi, my name is Jenny. I'm from Ontario, Canada. And I like Fraser because it reminds me of my childhood. There's just something so comforting about it. I also like falling asleep to it. There's just something about it. I also am obsessed with the character Fraser Crane. He's so insane, so out of this world, that there could never be another character like him. He's just so asinine, and that's why I love him. There isn't anybody else in my city, I think, that likes Fraser, not that I'm aware of. My fiance started watching it, since he's been with me. I get a lot of shit for it because a lot of people just think it's this stuffy, unfunny show, but little do they know, it's actually super hilarious, super silly. I accessed Fraser from my country. Honestly, just my mom had a bunch of DVDs growing up, so I always watched those. And it was on the Comedy Channel from time to time. I believe it still is. My favorite episode of Fraser is when Fraser heaves Martin's chair off the balcony. And I think that is my favorite scene of any TV show of all time. And yeah. All right. Thanks.
Hello. This is Joe Dorowski.
Hi, Joe. This is Anita Flores. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Fantastic. So we are here with another Craniac. Let's welcome Joe Dorowski to the podcast. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
I'm excited to chat because I know that you have a book, which is called Fraser, A Cultural History. I'd love to hear more about this book. Tell me about it. How did it come to be?
Yeah. Well, it's a book that I co-authored with my sister, Kate. I have a PhD in American Studies, and I study popular culture. And she has a degree, a master's degree from Parsons in New York in the history of design. And I had talked to her about collaborating on a project looking at the set design in Fraser and digging into that. And it kind of grew into a book project that we were able to publish with Roman and Littlefield that goes. So there is still some of that set design side of it, but we definitely dig into the characters, the archives of the series, and also a lot of behind the scenes details about the creation of the show.
Great. Did you, so I've got to read the book, which I will, but I'm curious.
Great. How are you doing, Anita?
You have to talk to anyone from the show or, you know, how did you put it together?
Yeah, so we definitely dug into a lot of the academic commentary that has existed around sitcoms and around Fraser specifically. We looked at a lot of reviews and interviews from when the show was on the air. We weren't able to contact any of the main actors while we were working on the book. There's a lot of layers between academic researchers and professional actors that you're not always able to break through. But we did have some sources like Ken Levine has an excellent blog, and he was a writer that had worked on both Cheers and Frasier. And so we were able to get a lot of some behind the scenes materials from him. And then also just with the wonders of the internet and university libraries, we were able to access a lot more behind the content that had been published in smaller newspapers or in magazines that had maybe, you know, not been seen as widely, and use those in our research as well.
Interesting. So what is it about Fraser that inspired you to write a book? How did you even get into Fraser?
The first episode of Fraser I ever saw, I remember, was when I was in high school in the 90s, and I had a sister who was still at home, and I think she was in her first year of college, so she had a computer in her room, and I needed to use her computer to write a paper or finish editing a paper for school the next day, and it was the Halloween episode of Fraser was what she was watching on her TV, and I'd never seen an episode of Fraser or anything, but I was just immediately drawn and said, there's like just such a high quality of wit and quality of writing and performance in this that I was just drawn to it. And since then, you know, I became a fan of the series, and I always thought like there's enough depth that's going on that it'd be worth, digging into academically to look for themes and messages and that sort of thing as well.
Sure. Now, which episode are you talking about? The one where Daphne is dressed as Elton John? Or is it?
No, not that one. It's the Roz.
Isn't she pregnant? Yes. I figured that was probably what you were talking about. The costume party. One of my favorite episodes. That was fantastic. Yeah. That's a great, great episode to, I'd like to think any episode that involves some sort of soiree, a gathering, a dinner party, is a good place to start for Fraser.
And also mixed up identities and, you know, people having pieces of information, but not the whole picture, but the audience has the whole picture and can understand why everyone's acting the way they are, even though, you know, it's a bit absurd what they're doing.
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, I know your sister couldn't join this call, but I am curious. I think you mentioned before off the air that she got David Hyde Pierce to sign the book. Tell me about that.
At the time our book was published, she was living in New York, and David Hyde Pierce was doing a Broadway play, and they would do a meet and greet after the play at the side. And so she didn't actually go and see his play. She just timed it for when he'd be coming out. And she showed the book, security person, and said, I want to give a copy of this to David Hyde Pierce. And so he actually like made sure she got a little quick time one-on-one with him, where she gave him a book and he also signed a copy for her and for me. And he wrote, I hope this is good.
Oh, I'm so glad. I've lived in New York for like almost 12 years. I have yet to run into him. I guess, you know, I've never had the patience to like wait for anyone outside of a play. But who knows?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the first time my sister had done it, but you know, she had a book about a TV show that he'd starred on, and
it was worth it.
Like when we did in the book, there's also a review or like we do a star ranking of every episode as an appendix at the back. Mm-hmm. And if it's a 4-star episode, we had to give a reason why. And I think a couple of times we just wrote David Hyde Pierce was the reason why. Like just go watch this man perform as Niles. And that makes a 4-star episode sometimes.
So since this episode is of my podcast is about sort of Frasier fans around the world, or in this case, a lot of them around the United States, where are you from?
I'm living in Utah right now. I teach English at Brigham Young University. And my sister is the co-author. She's in California now, though she was in New York when we wrote the book.
Okay. So, and are you both originally, where are you all both originally from?
Virginia is where we're originally from.
Okay. All right. So that makes, it's tough because, you know, for me, I was born in New York, but I spent my formative years in Connecticut and then moved back to New York 12 years ago. So collectively.
And so which one do you claim?
I mean, who wants to claim that they're from Connecticut? Nobody. absolutely. It feels much better to tell people I'm from New York, which technically I am. But anyway, now I can sort of say, technically you're in Utah. So let's count a Utah fan, but you're from Virginia. So you're also a fan from Virginia. And somebody left a voicemail, from West Virginia, talking about why they love Frasier. So we've got, Frasier's got,
just going to fill in some there.
So yeah, we've got a West Virginia. We've got a, you know what I should do? It would have taken a long time, but in a different world when I had more time and resources, I would do like somebody from every state that loves Frasier. maybe for the sequel of this episode. Well, it was lovely talking to you, but, and I, you mentioned you've got, another book, you just published another book. What is it? Where can people find it?
Yes. We went backwards and did Cheers, A Cultural History, after we did Frasier, A Cultural History. And it's also from Roman and Littlefield. So you can find the book at the Roman and Littlefield website, or it is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, all your traditional book selling locations. And physical bookstores would be able to get it. I'm doubting most of them have that in stock on their shelves already, but they could certainly order it for you if that's what you're looking for as well.
Fantastic. And do you have a podcast as well?
Yes, I host the Protagonist Podcast, where each week we talk about a great character in a great story. So it's a bit eclectic. One week we might be talking about a superhero comic book. The next we might be talking about Niles from Frasier. And the one after that, something from Shakespeare.
Amazing.
I was just going to say, we have done a couple Frasier-centric episodes of that as well. So you can go dig around in the Protagonist Podcast archives and find those.
Fantastic. One last thing. Now, you mentioned Brigham Young. I had a friend that went to Brigham Young. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to check off how many different kinds of people love Frasier, but it's a Mormon university? Am I right or wrong about
that? Yes, it is owned by the Mormon Church.
Okay. So do you consider yourself a Mormon?
Yes. Yeah, I am an active Mormon.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then now, that's, listen to that, folks. Another person in the books, Frasier fans around the world, including a Mormon. And so do you know anyone else at Brigham Young that likes Frasier? I'm just collecting information at this point because I'm just curious.
Definitely. And I show an episode in some of my classes for doing a narrative analysis. And even with, you know, students that are in their late teens and early 20s, there's usually at least one or two that say, this is one of my favorite shows. I've seen all of it.
Not as
maybe popular as like The Office. That's probably one of the other go-tos that more people in the room have seen. But when I show The Office or Frasier, it's an introduction for some students, but there's always someone who says, like, I've watched it with my family or something like that.
Interesting. Do you tend to mix it up, or what's like an episode or two episodes that you like to show in class?
I usually will show The Innkeepers, the episode when they try and do the restaurant.
Classic.
And I use it as an example of how there's like all these simple moments that are actually all commenting on a theme of what we do with old things. So like everything from the Niles, his bit of business at the beginning is to bring in an old book. and say everyone should read it, but then he won't let Roz read it. And once you start looking for it, you realize like so many of these jokes that could be anything that would be funny are actually all commenting on what we culturally do with old stuff in America.
Interesting. Man, I wish there had been a Frasier class when I was in school. Or it's not a Frasier class. It's not a Frasier class, but it's a, what's the actual class?
Well, it's a Writing 150 class, but I'm asking them to think about some piece of entertainment that they enjoy and look for themes in it. And I use this as an example in class of how, you know, a sitcom episode could actually have a lot more going on in it than just making us laugh, which is always the goal of a sitcom episode. But the best ones are going to have more going on as well.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I took a class, and I learned my lesson from this. If you're going to take a class about a show, you better love that show, because I thought I was cheating. I thought I was cheating the system when I picked, I did a class in, I was a TV minor, all about South Park. I don't watch South Park. And I was like, ooh, but it's TV. I guess I'll just watch TV for, you know, the whole semester. And not the case. And apparently I'm, you know, not a huge South Park fan. So, I learned a lot from that experience. But well,
including that you don't care for South Park as much as some other people.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. As you know, I'm a Frasier fan. I'd be curious to see what kind of overlap there is. People that love South Park and also Frasier. I'm going to have to look for that person. I haven't met them yet, but which makes sense.
I'm not that person for you.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm glad to know I'm not alone in that. Thanks for joining me. And I look forward to reading Frasier, A Cultural History.
Thank you for having me on.
Hi, my name is Bria, and I'm calling because I have loved Frasier for a while now. And it first started when I had just moved out of a really bad city that was just not healthy for me, and I was getting out of a really bad relationship and started to live by myself for the first time and really just be on my own. And it was a lot, and it was scary. And I guess that I really just started to relate to Frasier because I had kind of a weird family life growing up, and bad things happened, and we just never talked about it. And I loved Frasier because there was always a resolution, and it was one that you could rely on, and people were upfront with each other, and that was just nothing I'd ever experienced before, and it was something that was just really comforting, and it was something I could always come home to, and it was also something that not a lot of other people could relate to, which I guess my weird little self really appreciated. Yeah, I guess I'm just super grateful for the show and everything it did for me. And I'm still a huge fan to this day.
Well, I want to thank everyone who called in and left a voicemail. I really love Craniacs. What have we learned from this episode? Frasier's got Mormon fans from Canada, England, Georgia, and more. Shout out to my voicemail people. Cheryl from Georgia, I would like to put what you said on a t-shirt. Why do I love Frasier? How could I not love Frasier? That's very quotable. And I love that Frasier made you curious about wine. It made me interested in sherry and dinner parties. It's a show that introduced all of us to the finer things in life, don't you think? Jenny from Ontario, I also love falling asleep to Frasier. Bria, I'm happy to hear that your weird little self found comfort in Frasier. So did my weird little self. So did many other weird little selves. You are not alone in finding that comfort. So thank you again to everyone who called and left a voicemail. Stay tuned for part 3 of Frasier Fans Around the World.